This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Welcome Thaddeus McConnor of American Greatness to help me through the odd remarks that are coming from members of the Congress, especially the House of Representatives in these last hours, about the Biden agenda that is part of the larger story of the recovery from the pandemic. The headline is unusual. Congressional Progressive Caucus prepares to block infrastructure bill if reconciliation budget fails. We go to a quote from the Progressive Caucus chair in the House of Representatives, Democratic Caucus, Pramila Jayapal. She told Politico, according to this report, that the majority of her coalition, 96 members, have shared with her that they're prepared to thwart, block the infrastructure bill in protest unless it is a package deal with the Democrat-spearheaded measure of $3.5 trillion, the reconciliation package. That is, I'm lost. The progressives want the reconciliation package of $3.5 trillion, which is a number that Bernie Sanders is happy with. The Republicans are ready to share in the voting of the infrastructure bill, which is roads and bridges. However, the progressives are going to block what the Republicans want unless they get what the Democrats want. Have I got that right? And I'm lost. Good evening to you, Thaddeus.
Well, good evening to you, John. First, it's not an infrastructure bill. Essentially, it's another $1.5 trillion spending bill where they try to redefine infrastructure from roads and bridges into anything that has any remote possibility of being attached to a progressive wish list. So what we're looking at now is the threat from the Progressive Caucus is that they're going to not accept everything they've ever wanted in the $1.5 trillion infrastructure bill. The reality is, John, the only thing progressives, the only road progressives want to pave is the road to serfdom. So I would like to, as an American taxpayer, I thank them for their obstinance and venality and cupidity. Please block that bill. And while you're at it, block the $3.5 trillion boondoggle you got coming down the pike. When the progressives are upset that they can't spend $5 trillion and feel as if they're being thwarted by the Congress and by the American people, it's a great day.
To pass the reconciliation bill, the story goes, Democrats need 51 votes in an evenly divided Senate, a difficult feat to achieve with moderate Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, both Democrats, objecting to it. In a major blow to the Democrats' aims, Manchin recently rejected the massive $3.5 trillion plan, citing its price tag and inflation concerns. To appease Democrats, Manchin announced he would be amenable to a reconciliation bill in the ballpark of $1 to $1.5 trillion, but that lower number was not good enough for Senator Sanders and Representative Ocasio-Cortez. Again, I get lost, but I think what I'm reading here, Manchin will go along with something, but that is not acceptable to Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez, who are the leaders of the progressives in the Congress, I guess. And therefore, Thaddeus, does this all add up to nothing happening?
In the immortal words of Andrew Breitbart, So AOC doesn't like it. Sanders doesn't like it. Great. Another great day for America. Score another win for the American taxpayers who don't want to invest $5 trillion in more inflation and stagger the economy that's already reeling. So when you look at it, what Manchin's doing is trying to protect not only himself, and he also opposes the filibuster, is to protect himself and other members who are up for re-election in the Democratic Senate from having to face a series of bad votes and having to face the consequences of these progressive demands actually being enacted into law. And as Manchin rightly points out, this isn't a one-shot $3.5 trillion. Once you spend $3.5 trillion, the budget baselines go up and everybody expects it to continue at that pace or more in future years. So he's absolutely right about that. But what the people who should really be thanking Senator Manchin and that caucus are the Democrats who are on the ballot and do not want to have to cast that vote, do not want the filibuster to go away and then have to face even more votes that are going to guarantee the end of their political viability.
It looks like a family feud. Is it resolvable? Not according to this article, but I puzzle. Everybody has to accept less of what they want in order to get something. Does that sound like the progressive Democrats? Are they going to be successful to their constituents if they accept less than everything?
Well, if by Democratic family you mean the Corleone family, yeah. But when you look at it, John, they're all free agents, as they represent constituencies, they represent states, and so they're trying to balance their own political viability with the interests of their constituents. And somebody like Joe Manchin coming out of West Virginia, or Sinema, who's trying to be a Democratic version of John McCain, a centrist in many ways, an independent with an independent maverick streak, there's no way they can buy into the progressive agenda. So it's going to be a case of the few members that remain sane in the Democratic Party having to tell the Progressive Caucus no, and then having to watch the ensuing temper tantrum directed at them.
Are we looking at everybody preparing us for nothing happening? That's a puzzle, because the Biden administration says this is their plan. This is their agenda. If nothing happens, Thaddeus, how do they handle it congressionally? Do they just delay it until the next session? Do they kick the can down the road? What do they do?
Is this the Joe Biden that said he was a moderate and told the American people he'd govern as a moderate? I don't see him being particularly moderate here. What Joe Biden wants is what varies one day to the next, and half the time you wonder if he even remembers what he said in the first place, to get votes from the caucus or from the American people. So when you look at it, John, what Biden wants is irrelevant, because I think they understand that after the damage, he's underwater around 44% in the polls. He doesn't have the juice that you would expect from a first incoming presidential administration this early is amazing to me. And so it's really a battle between the Senate and the Senate Democratic Caucus and the House Democratic Caucus. And it's also a question of whether or not House Republicans want to vote on a real infrastructure package that deals with road, bridges, sewers, as opposed to the boondoggle that was put in front of them by Nancy Pelosi in the first place. So it's kind of a trifecta of competing interests, and we will have to see. And the Republicans' voices will be one that will have to be listened to if they wish it to voice their opinion.
History says that the party out of power, out of the White House, gained seats in the first midterm election, which is 22. That means the Republicans are historically bound to recapture control of the House of Representatives, at least. The Senate is another story, but right now, Margaret Hassan in New Hampshire and I believe Mark Kelly in Arizona are both iffy about re-election because of they were very narrow the last time, and it's likely to be even more narrow this time. So in pressing these extreme positions, all or nothing, is that the Democratic progressive recognizing that they have a finite amount of time to get this because they'll lose power in January 23?
That would require self-awareness and a semblance of sanity, which is a very rare commodities within the Progressive Caucus of the U.S. House. But what you're looking at are other people, such as, I think, Senator Manchin, as well as probably Senate Majority Leader Schumer and others, knowing what is realistic, what isn't, and what they should expect to get done in the time that they have. Now, whether or not Republicans do well in the midterm, there's a long way to go. There's many a slip between the cup and the lip, as once was said about being Prime Minister of England. But right now, the trend lines are very good for the Republicans, and the progressives are doing their best to make those trend lines even better.
Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.